Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. The sun in Washington glares off the marble mausoleums of power like a 10,000 lumen beam held by an interrogator. It reflects so hard off the endless graves across the water in Arlington that it burns your eyes. It is 21 March, 2026. The war in Iran is the main event, a messy, sputtering, yet bloody affair that looks less like a strategic masterstroke and more like the failing gasp of the Epstein world order every single day. Donald Trump, the man who sold us a platform of America First and promised to end the cycle of Middle Eastern quagmires, is now knee-deep in the wreckage of Tehran and the blood of innocents all around the region and right here at home. He campaigned on bringing the boys home. Instead, he sent more of them in, and he sent the missiles in hand with an Israeli state that seems to have a mortgage on his soul. When a man pivots as sharply as a ballerina on hot coals, you look for the wire that's got him by the spine. Trump's appointments: Tulsi Gabbard, a woman who built a career on skepticism of regime change, and Joe Kent, a man who knows the cost of the desert wars, and others, were supposed to be the crew helping Trump lead us away from being the butcher boys for Netanyahu and his ilk. But the crew doesn't matter much when the ship is being steered from Tel Aviv. As victory was declared after the killing of the elder Khamenei and his family, the question arose, how did Netanyahu get the photo proving the murder of the dead leader? The writer and researcher John I. Johnson used Grok AI to research the matter. Quote, "As in the U.S. and the rest of the West, Jews and Jewish agents are honeycombed inside every nook and cranny of targeted countries and peoples, from top to bottom. Jews excel at this." From Grok. Khamenei was killed on February 28, 2026, in a joint U.S.-Israeli airstrike on his official compound in Tehran. Israeli Air Force jets with U.S. intelligence support, including CIA tracking of his location and a high-level meeting, carried out precision strikes, dropping around 30 bombs/missiles on the site in a rapid decapitation operation, near simultaneous hits within about 60 seconds across multiple Tehran locations. The body was removed from the rubble of the bombed compound, reports indicate, by Iranian authorities. Israeli television networks, primarily Channel 12, also KAN, public broadcaster, reported that a single photograph of the recovered body was shown directly to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and U.S. President Donald Trump as confirmation/proof of the successful strike. No public photos or videos of the actual corpse have been released by any government or credible outlet. There are no publicly available details or descriptions whatsoever about the condition of the corpse in that private photo. No leaks, eyewitness accounts from the photo viewing, or further elaboration have surfaced in mainstream sources. There is no indication that Iran provided the photo to Israel or the U.S. Credible reports from Israeli media state that a single photograph of Khamenei's body, recovered from the rubble of his Tehran compound after the February 28 joint U.S.-Israeli airstrikes, was shown to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Donald Trump as confirmation of his death. Key details from these sources. The body was recovered by Iranian authorities, as explicitly noted in reports like the Times of Israel, after it was recovered by Iranian authorities from his compound in Tehran. However, the photo itself was not described as coming from Iran. Instead, reporting frames it as part of Israeli-U.S. intelligence confirmation processes, with senior Israeli officials briefing on the elimination and the image being shared internally for verification. Some accounts, e.g. in Reuters-cited or AFP reference stories, mention the images were transmitted directly to the leaders as proof, implying an intelligence channel, possibly Mossad or shared U.S.-Israeli assets, rather than any handover from Iranian officials. One circulating claim suggested a Mossad agent documented the body at the scene and sent it directly to Netanyahu, bypassing any Iranian involvement. The photo remains private, non-public, with zero leaks of its contents or exact sourcing beyond these Israeli media citations. Close quote. Most interesting, other sources state that Israel, not the U.S., obtained the photo and held it for some time before releasing it to their American slaves. From Noster, quote, "The images, which show a gruesome clinical confirmation of the strike's success, hit the desk of the Prime Minister's office exactly 9 minutes before the Pentagon even confirmed the strike had hit its primary target. That 9-minute gap is the distance between a sovereign nation and a client state." Close quote. It isn't a secret that the Israel lobby operates with the subtlety of a sledgehammer. Miriam Adelson's $100 million check to Trump wasn't a donation. It was a down payment on murder for hire. When the policy shifted from America first to regime change in Iran, it wasn't American interests driving the change. It was the interests of a state that views every regional neighbor as a target to be neutralized. That's how Jews think. Mossad has the blackmail, or a credible threat of announcing blackmail material that looks so real that just about everyone will believe it. Or it could just be the crushing weight of a lobby that owns the media and the money printer of the banking system. Whatever the case, the result is the same. The United States is again fighting a war that isn't its own, shedding blood so bloodthirsty Zionist Jews can have their enemies of the moment decapitated. No wonder more and more of the world hates us. The muscle for the mob is never loved, and for good reason. The rot of it all is showing. Joe Kent didn't resign because he got tired of the hours. He walked out because he looked at the situation in the Middle East and saw the architecture of Israeli control. When a man like Kent, who put his own reputation on the line and devoted his life to the Trump movement, decides the game is rigged, you pay attention. And then there's the case of Kerry Prejean Bowler, a Trump appointee, now quickly removed when she questioned Jewish-Israeli supremacism, to the Religious Liberty Commission. She didn't leave with a polite note about spending more time with family. No, she was forced out. In her resignation letter dated earlier this week, Bowler stripped away the polite fictions of the current regime. Here's some of what she said recently. Quote, "I think that we are an occupied nation. I think that a foreign country has occupied our government, and we are seeing now that this president of the United States of America is being influenced by a foreign government. Netanyahu's been here almost 8 times. This is embarrassing. We are the United States of America. Why are we allowing a foreign country to occupy our government? And MAGA? Let me tell you right now, MAGA is dead. It is deader than dead, and Americans are furious. We don't recognize President Donald J. Trump anymore. I talk to MAGA people all day long, every day, and the everyday average American is absolutely against this war. And they know that the only reason why we are even in Iran right now is because of Israel. We will not vote for one more politician who lies to us and says, oh, we're going to drain the swamp and we're going to not get involved in foreign wars. Trump has betrayed our country, and he has betrayed MAGA, and people are livid." Close quote. That's particularly powerful, coming from someone who has been a friend, she once said, dear friend, and supporter of Trump for a full 20 years. Bowler saw the same thing the National Alliance has been telling the world for half a century. Jews dominate America and the West. Bowler finally saw and rejected that domination. Many more will follow. She finally recognized that the people driving this war view the American nation as a disposable resource. Interestingly, her last days at the commission involved a fiery debate with a Zionist, possibly a Jew, named Seth Dillon, the CEO of the conservative satire site, The Babylon Bee. Dillon makes millions making fun of leftist excesses and has a lot of good white Americans thinking he's on their side. In reality, he's a fierce advocate for Jewish and Israeli interests and spins his satire in a way so that Jews always appear innocent or as allies of conservatives, when the opposite is nearly always true. Dillon wanted Bowler out, and Bowler is now out. The administration tried to bury Bowler's letter, tried to frame her as an outlier, a disgruntled appointee who didn't understand the complexity of the situation. What liars! Bowler's departure confirms what Joe Kent and the others felt when they left. The administration has been captured. And the captors are liars, too, needless to say. One day it's, we've won. The next it's, we need ground troops. All while the Strait of Hormuz stays shut, American embassies and regional oil facilities burn, and the price of oil creeps up like a swamp fever on the Mosquito Coast. When you appoint someone to guard the gates of conscience and they leave because they realize the gate is locked from the inside by the slimy representatives of slimy Israel, the illusion of a sovereign American policy starts to peel away like cheap wallpaper. Trump's rhetoric regarding this war has been like a strobe light run by a schizoid clown. You blink and it's changed. One day he's boasting that Operation Midnight Hammer turned Iran's nuclear facilities into a crater-pocked parking lot. The next, he's warning that the Iranian nuclear threat is an existential emergency that requires a joint U.S.-Israeli assault. It's trumpery in its most demented form. He tells the public, "We've won," while Iranian ballistic missiles are turning American embassies into husks and hammering Tel Aviv. After proclaiming total victory, he tells the EU, "We need help," then pivots within a single hour to claim, "We don't need anyone's help." Next, it's, "We've achieved our goals and may wind down this operation." And a few hours later, it's, "We need to start a ground war." Blackmailed traitors shouldn't be commanding American soldiers. It's an erratic, disjointed, and exhausting performance. It makes you dizzy. You aren't hearing strategy. You're hearing a man reading a script that keeps getting rewritten by a frantic producer offstage. If the Strait of Hormuz is closed, and oil prices are doing a vertical takeoff, and our assets are evaporating, you aren't winning. You're just holding the bag while the house burns down. The irony is thick enough to choke on. The same voices that warned about the swamp in 2016 have united with the worst and greasiest elements of the old swamp and built a new, deeper one, one that leads directly to Bibi's and likely Epstein's doorstep. There is no victory for white folks in this. There is only the long, grinding depletion of our nation's wealth and our people's irreplaceable genetic heritage. Aliens who open our borders and corrupt our leaders and trick us into fighting their wars for them deserve to be called our enemies. Not the people of Iran, who, unlike the Jews, posed zero threat to us prior to this war. Be watching, by the way, for a false flag Pearl Harbor-type event in which Americans die, which will be falsely blamed on Iran. Don't fall for it. It's time to end all this. It will take a long time. We need to build a generation-spanning community to do the job. A race-based community. An uncompromising community. A community spiritually committed to its unwavering mission. It's time for you to join with the National Alliance and help us bring that mission to victory. Everything depends on our success.